Hey guys, it's Amber May, and guess what I have for you? I want to show you towels that actually work. Oh, they're from MyPillow. And right now, there's a killer sale going on MyPillow. When you go visit mypillow.com/Amber, these are the softest towels, and the towels actually work. So I was trying them out at her house, and then I'm like, I gotta go home and buy my own set of towels. And since then, I've been switching all my towels to MyPillow towels. So, hey, use promo code Amber at mypillow.com/Amber and get towels that actually work. Get a 6-piece towel set, normally $109. Get it right now for $39. So, mypillow.com, use promo code Amber. Hey, welcome to the Amber May Show. I am so glad to have my fellow deplorables on the show with me today. I appreciate your time so very much. Today, I am talking to a candidate who's running for superintendent of public instruction in Arizona. Now, during her campaign trail, she has uncovered a lot of indoctrination that is happening to the kids who attend public school. And a lot of it is sexualized, like very sexualized literature and information coming at the young kids. Now, we're going to dig into all that because I just don't think that you, me, and the rest of the parents out there feel like we want our kids to be indoctrinated. We want our kids to learn so that they have the ability to compete in the world market. So today we are talking to Sherry Sapir, again, running for superintendent of public instruction in Arizona, and what she's found on her campaign trail is incredible, really incredible. So I hope you stay tuned for that. Please, please, please help me out. I need your help. The way we fight this thing is we share truth. And so I need you to do your job of liking, sharing, and subscribing. Because that helps. That really does help us win this battle, because we need to know the truth, because the truth will set us free. But I can't do it alone. I need your help. And one way you can help me is going to the amermayshow.locals.com. I really do need your support. A $5 monthly support will help me quite a bit. So if you could do that, I would be very grateful. Please consider looking at my sponsors. The easiest way to do that is going to the amermayshow.com and going to the promo section or clicking the links below in the show notes. That's the easiest way because I have partnered with several companies to get you a discount. So we're supporting a Patreon company. You get a discount and they also help support the Amber May Show. I need help. Really is what it boils down to. I need help. So you can do that. Another way you can help me is going, when you're on my website, going to the merch look section and getting a shirt or a cup or something like that. That helps too. I really do appreciate your time. Please find me on Telegram at the Amber May Show. You can find me on Frank Social at Amber May or True Social at Amber May. Please find me there so we can carry on the conversation. There are things I share on those platforms that I do not share on the show. It's impossible. I can't share everything on the show. So make sure you're following me on one of those platforms. So coming up next is Sherry Sapir, and she's going to show us what she's discovered on her campaign trail. We all like to support veterans and veteran businesses, so I want you to check out thecommandersartist.com. His artwork is phenomenal, very patriotic. I think you're going to like it. And when you're at thecommandersartist.com, if you use my name, Amber, you're going to save some money at checkout. So you could support a veteran-owned business that also supports the Amber May Show, and you get a discount at the same time. It's a win-win situation for everybody. General Flynn loves him, and he's a great friend to me. So visit thecommandersartist.com today. Use promo code Amber and save some money at checkout. Show. I am so glad you guys are here with me again because you guys are the deplorables. You guys are the domestic terrorists. And joining me today is my friend, running for superintendent of public instruction, Sherry Sapir. It's such a pleasure to have you on my program today.
Thank you. So good to be here.
One thing I've just really enjoyed watching your whole entire campaign. You've gone to so many different events, you've met so many people around our state, around our nation, and it's been super exciting. What has been your most favorite part of campaigning?
I would say talking to the people has been really special. Just knowing that all these people put their trust in you to fix some of these problems, which we all know they're manufactured. So many of these things just shouldn't even be part of our daily conversation, but they are because the power be decide that they want to just bring all this hardship on their families. But I really enjoy talking to people and get to know them, and I'm people person, I guess, so it fits my personality. That part of campaigning is really easy for me, and I enjoy it.
You are 100% a people person, 100%. I've really enjoyed getting to know you over the last few years. So, what was the one thing like that started opening your eyes, or when did your eyes start getting open to what was happening in the public school system?
Well, in August of 2020, when the kids went back to school on Zoom, my son was in kindergarten and my daughter was in second grade, and I saw, especially my son, he was six, and a couple of weeks into August, I saw how he was so disengaged from the computer. He didn't know what was going on. My daughter was struggling with passwords to get to different, classrooms online. And I just looked at them and I said, this is not going to stop, because I knew they were going to prolong this as long as they could. And I did not want my kids to lose all this learning time. So I pulled them out and I put them in a private school. And all of us mama bears are on Facebook and different groups, and just talking to so many people and hearing the outcry and the outrage and the complaints. And I just said, why are we having these people in charge of our kids? How can we allow these people to continue to be in charge of our kids? I don't want to run for a political office. This was not my aspiration, not one of those things that I had to check off the list. But at the end of the day, we can't sit and complain if we allow these people to maintain their offices, and we need to politely remove them from their office and say, we're going to take it from here. We're going to do a better job for our kids.
I
And that's what prompted
100%
me to
think
do.
you can. I believe in you 100%. When I met you, we met at a business networking event because you're a small business owner. I mean, your life is incredible. I mean, you're from Israel. You had to serve in the military in Israel. You're a pilot. You're a mom. You're a business owner. You are the coolest friend. I just think the world of you, and you're super fun to hang out with. And so, what I appreciate about you is your love for your children. And I know that that love for your children is going to drive you into being the best version of a superintendent of public instruction that you possibly could be, because you're doing this for your kids, and by a product, you're doing it for the rest of our kids. And it's not an easy job by any means, because you're gonna have to go against the teachers union, and that is a very strong and powerful adversary to go against. Have you thought of ways that you were going to combat or deal with the difficulties of dealing with the teachers union?
Well, the teachers unions are most powerful on the national level. They pump a lot of money into different races. That's where they're really powerful. They're lobbying to different lawmakers around the country. That's where they're very powerful. And then they have all these different, professional development courses and all these other things that they indoctrinate the teachers through. In Arizona, about 20% of the teachers belong to a union, because it's a right to work state. So it's not that they all have to belong to a union. So that's not where the problem is. It's more on the national level. And so I think school choice is going to elevate some of that problem, because obviously charter schools and private schools are not engaging with the teachers union. So that's going to elevate some of that. And just people need to understand, the superintendent of public instruction right now in Arizona, Kathy Hoffman, she is a puppet of the teachers union. I'm sure she's getting a phone call from Joe Thomas from the Arizona Education Association every day. He's telling her what to do. When he calls me, I'm not going to pick up that call. So that's going to make a big difference in their influence, because they're directly influencing her. So it's not that you're fighting against the teachers unions, and that is that massive. We have volunteers in the Department of Education taking in their propaganda and inserting it into our schools. Under my administration, it's not going to happen.
I love that. And the other thing I like about what you're offering is school choice. I and that you're advocate of school choice, and you think that the money should follow the children. And I love that. I absolutely love that, because My kids are not in public school either, especially after what happened, the last few years they're in private school. And one thing I would love to see across the nation is something our state adopted where you get a tax credit every time, like if someone donates to your school, you get a tax credit, and that tax credit helps pay for your tuition. And there's different scholarship tuition organizations out there, and so it'd be cool if a lot more states adopted it, because then it would give a further school choice for parents to put their kids where they think is the best fit for their students. Because not public school is not a one size fits all.
No.
You have special needs, and there are some schools that are more specialized in different areas of special needs. Some of them are deaf, some of them are blind, some of them have like a mental disorder or something like that. And so we have different types of schools, but they're not all public, they're not all free, and it takes money. So I like that you're for pro choice of where you want, where the parents think is best for their kids. I appreciate that about you. So I want to show everyone your latest video. I think it was well done, very well done. And so I want the world to see this latest campaign video that you've done. Oh, and you're so beautiful.
Oh, stop that.
I just think the world of you. Okay, so I'm going to share my sound. Okay, here we go.
You hear people say that we must invest in our children's education. I agree, but when you make an investment, you should expect a good return on investment. To call the money in education an investment shows a lack of understanding of the word. In the almost 2 years of COVID, schools were shut down despite of irrefutable evidence that it was causing unmeasurable damage. Children were traumatized due to lockdowns and isolation. They failed to navigate this impossible new reality and reverted to drug abuse, depression, and sadly, some even paid the ultimate price. Meanwhile, schools got flush with COVID funds. Where is the money? But let's not allow the education system to use COVID as an excuse for the fact that our children are failing. Even before COVID, the education system was a failure factory, producing functional illiterates who stand no chance of performing successfully on the world stage. Critical race theory, social emotional learning, equity, diversity and inclusion, gender fluidity, and sexualization of our children take priority over actual academics. We negotiate non-negotiables with teachers' unions who dictate to us what's best for our children. Parents who recognize these failures are attacked and are labeled domestic terrorists. The people we entrust our children with believe that your children belong to the state and not you.
We have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents.
Our education system needs new people with new ideas, and not the people who put us in this current mess. I'm Sherry Sapir, and with your help, we will end this insanity. I'm running for Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction. We will restore parental rights and honor your role in your child's upbringing. We will engage in a broader conversation around school choice and make sure every dollar follows every child in Arizona. We will put an end to the sexualization and grooming of our children. In my role, I will challenge a student to find his or her passion. And we will cultivate the genius that I believe exists in every child. It's time we got the return on investment education was supposed to yield. This is a children's rescue mission. Arizona, are you with me?
I got chills watching
I
that.
know,
That
me
is
too.
so powerful because you highlighted every single issue that parents have. School has become an indoctrination station. It's not about learning your alphabet, learning how to do math, learning how to form a sentence. It's about talking about anti-America stuff. It's talking about sexualizing your kid. There's no need to talk about that. For one, it's not their business. And two, that's an adult issue, not a child issue. I don't care. Like when I was growing up, I honestly didn't care two craps about what my teacher did on the weekend. I didn't care like what her life was like. I didn't care about her sexualization. I didn't care how many kids she had. All I cared about is she cared about me And she taught me. Frankly, as a child, I thought my teacher lived at school. She was there before I got there. She was there after I left. I didn't know there was, she went home. That was her home. Like, this is how kids think. You know, they don't, they're not thinking about, oh, are you a girl? Are you a boy? Are you married to a man? Are you married to a girl? What is your sexual preference? How many, like, they don't care about that. All they care about is that their teacher likes them and cares about them and that they learn from their parents. I mean, did you have
sadly,
similar experience growing up like that?
Well, I adored my teachers. I was kind of a teacher's pet. So, but I adored my teachers and I love engaging with them in the academics. You know, I was always challenging them and always had those questions. I was probably one of those annoying kids who always asked all those questions. But no, we did not know much about their personal life. Once in a blue moon, if they would go out of town for a special trip, they'll be so excited. But that was it. I can't imagine any of my teachers growing up coming to the classroom and saying, guys, just want you to know I'm gay. I can't imagine that experience. I just can't. And so to me, this is really off limit. The Trojan horse that the left is using is the LGBTQ, because they're saying once you reject that notion that they should be talking to your kids about this, you're actually homophobe or whatever the case may be. Well, I don't care how you feel about me, and I don't care what name you call me. When you speak to my child about sex or sexuality, whether it's a heterosexual or a homosexual conversation, you are a pedophile. Mm-hmm. That's it. And we need to make sure that we make it very clear. Now, the problem is that right now it became so accepted that teachers come and say, you know, you can call me a miss, you can call me a missus. A lot of their signatures on their emails for different teachers is the pronouns that they use. So we have to stop this. We have to say, you know, if you want to do this, go to a different line of work and yes. go and talk to your people in your office and come and ask them to call you different pronouns. Leave our children alone. When they're 18, have a conversation with them. Until then, leave them alone.
Yeah, it's not their business to talk about that stuff. Their job is just to teach our children. And I love how you've exposed so much. And the attack on the parents. Let's talk about that before we go to exposing more of what you've done. And bravo, I don't know of any superintendent who's running, a candidate running, who has exposed as much as you have. You've opened my eyes. I was shocked at how bad things were in the education system. But they would not allow us as parents to go to school board meetings. You had it in your commercial, parents getting arrested. That happened on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Parents, they were forcing medical devices, a mask mm-hmm. and other things on children. And they're not physicians. They're not scientists. They don't have that degree at all. And yet they were forcing things upon children as if they had the right to do so. And parents spoke out about it. As a matter of fact, in the Reawaken America tour with Clay Clark and General Flynn, they have the Iowa Mama Bears. And one of the things they talk about is they stand up and they share about a time when one of the kids that they know had to wear a mask during basketball and it caused them hypoxia, which means there is lack of air to the brain. And now that child is permanently has some type of permanent brain damage. That kid was completely normal. You have these rules placed on people without the proper medical training. And so it was not their place.
Even if they had the medical training, I mean, they're asking us to even sign a consent to give Tylenol or ibuprofen if Correct. Our child has high fever in school. So for them to now suddenly say, well, we can give them hormone blockers. We can send them to Planned Parenthood to get an abortion. Yeah, we can put a mask on them, even if they're asthmatic or if they have emotional distress or whatever the case may be, or while they're doing sports, which is obviously, I mean, you don't need to be an expert to understand that when you're accelerating your breath, you should not have anything block your breath while you're doing it. So all of these things are now, you see, the problem is that they've pushed the envelope so much and slowly and gradually to the point where we were kind of accepting everything. Not we weren't, but we were expected to accept all of these things that they were deciding for our kids. The bottom line is the Parents' Bill of Rights in Arizona says that we as parents have the right to make all medical decisions on behalf of a minor child. I don't understand what's confusing about that part of the statute. to me, it's pretty self-explanatory. So for them to go, and you know, my son was 3 when I put him in a preschool for speech, public school, because he has IEP. They forced the mask and I had to get an exemption for him. And I said, but he's nonverbal. These kids are there in this IEP class or in this, you know, with the speech pathologist and all to speak. You're putting a mask on them. They're 3 years old and on their teachers. What kind of progress do you expect to have this year? Do I really need to have a PhD in speech pathology to understand that it's not gonna? So, but you have to know, you know, California now just changed their metrics for the progression the milestones of babies. So now if a child was supposed to speak 50 words by the age of 18 months, now they're saying it's 24 months. You see, they're trying to be ahead of the curve.
That's terrible.
To make sure that we don't pay it, we don't notice, so to speak, what these 2 years have done to our children cognitively and development-wise. And we know that there's a lot of regression going on, and they're just trying to get ahead of themselves because they know people are going to wake up to this if they haven't already.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
What if I told you that there was a beauty product that also helped block fat? Would you be interested? I know you would, because it's something I'm interested in. The older I got, the more wrinkles that are showing up on the forehead, under the eyes. I got this Timeless box. It's amazing because the oil goes on after I clean up my face. The oil goes on and it helps with wrinkles. It helps with any kind of skin issues you might have. It's great for deterring insect bites. You gotta try it. It's amazing with that. And it's super easy. You just put it on your face and it just helps with any kind of skin issues you might have. Not only does the oil do that, but it also blocks fat. So put a dropper in your mouth right before you have a meal and you could be stopping fat right before the get-go. So if you want to lose weight and you want to have a beautiful looking face, or if you have skin, anything as skin that you're just like, I don't like this, then get the Timeless Pack at thetimelesspack.com. Use my name, Amber May. Use promo code Amber May and save almost half off on the Timeless Pack. So that's thetimelesspack.com, promo code Amber May, and save some money for getting your wrinkles and fat loss.
I remember Governor Ducey suspended grades the last 2 years. He suspended actual grading because the kids were failing at an epic level. I mean, kids, it was hard for me as an adult in college because I had to take a few online courses. It was hard for me to focus and do the online. I can only imagine how much harder it would have been for the children. Not some kids might excel, but there's a vast majority, and I feel like I'm in that category where I thrive in person learning with a physical teacher. Because you put me on the computer and now my brain's going every which way. I'm not going to focus. And then things distract me. And so it was something that really upset me. I'm like, if you guys really realize you're suspending the grades because our grades are dropping, then why are you continuing with this thing that's not working? I couldn't understand that. Could not understand that.
Well, it was convenient, I think. Yes, there are some model of online learning that could work for some students. As you said, we have Primavera here in the state that, you know, it works for some kids, especially some that are sick and may have to be in different doctor's appointments. It just works for their lifestyle and their current, you know, their situation. But to say that all the kids are able, especially the youngsters, and remember, they keep telling us that our children should not be in front of the screens for more than an hour or two a day. Now you're putting them 6 or 7 hours a day in front of the computer, then they come home and they want to watch real TV. Mm-hmm. So, and then some of them have phones when they're 10 or 11. So now they're spending 16 hours of their day in front of a screen. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me that this is not damaging for a child, not physiologically, emotionally, mentally, their eyesight. There's just so many bad things that as a consequence from all this. And we, you know, and for the experts, that's why I'm running, because we've heard enough from the experts. And what they're saying is just, you know, it's just feeding some sort of a narrative that they're trying to propagate on us. So we have to be there for our kids. We have to make sure that our kids get some real, true learning experience in the school. Online is opening cheating. You know, we just had Brophy, the principal, sending a letter the day of the graduation that 100 kids were found to cheat on the final exams because they were all online. So of course it's going to open up the window for cheating for kids or somebody else to do your assignments and do your homework because you're not in the classroom. The teacher doesn't see that you're actually writing the information on the test. So it's just, I think we need to look at all of this and say, this is just not working. And if we truly want our kids to be educated, this is not the way to get them there.
Now, we have some actual really good teachers in our state, and I heard from them, and they were just as frustrated as the parents were because in-person learning, they could get their kids' attention. They, you know, physically, they could have, like, snapped a finger, or they could have walked over to the kid's desk and say, you need to pay attention. When it's virtual learning, they don't have that kind of control. So it was frustrating for those teachers that were out there that really do care about the job and really care about education. It was hard for them because they could not get the whole entire attention span of all their students. And so that was very frustrating on their part. So online learning, not a huge fan. I mean, if it works for your kid, that's one thing. But I think we've seen from many kids that in-person is key. And with monkeypox 2.0 coming around the corner, my fear is they're going to try and do that again, where they're going to try and keep kids at home. Now, if you become, which I fully think you will, because I think you're the strongest candidate we have. If you become superintendent of public instruction and monkeypox 2.0 comes around, are you going to be advocating for the kids to stay home if they want to, or go to school? Or like, what is your thought if we have this pandemic again occur?
I think any pandemic again, we've learned that it didn't work. The shutdowns did not work. They did not prove to be any more successful in mitigating the spread. So to me, we have to have learned something from this and never again, ever again, conduct these shutdowns. We're going to have more pandemics, you know, or different viruses attacking us. We are human beings. That's what viruses do. They come around and they go away. We cannot jeopardize years of our young children and keep them at home locked up. And that's why we have such high suicide rate and such high drug abuse rate right now, because it messes with our children. It's not good for them. I will never advocate to shut down any school ever again. And I think that's why choice is the first order of action, right? Because once we have the choice, schools that want to open, private schools that want to open, they will. Public schools, if they decide to shut down, they will. The parents are going to be able to move their kids right now. And that's why we don't really have school choice in Arizona, because even when you're putting your children in a private school, you have to scrape these STOs and try to get all these different funds from different taxpayers around you that can only give you $1,100 or $1,200, whatever it is, mm-hmm. per person, just to get to add up. And it's every year. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't have to be going through this. You're paying taxes. This is your money. Your tax money is staying with the public school, but right. Your child is not there anymore. Mm-hmm. So, and we need to tap into different pools to make up for it. So I think we definitely need to be ready with school choice when this, if anything like this ever happens again, so we can put our kids where we want to, be, you know, part of the government institutions shut down that may or may not happen again. I hope they don't do it. I hope they learn something, but I doubt it.
I've been seeing documents. I was on a show yesterday, Clay Clark, and it's actually uploaded on my Rumble, on his Rumble, and he has documents that showed that they have planned monkeypox and other pandemics. It's planned, and he has documents to prove it. And so I would encourage you, if you want to see it, go to my Rumble or the Thrive Time show, so the AMMA show or the Thrive Time show, and look for the one with Cash Patel and General Flynn and myself. We're on it all together, well, at different points in time. But they have a document and it's planned. So it's not if, it's when. And monkeypox already was supposed to start this month and already has. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I was concerned about that. So you can go to those shows to see what I'm talking about. But I want to go back to your website because you've done some amazing work. I mean, I'm so proud of what you've been teaching the parents. And tell me if you can see the exposing indoctrination. Can you see this page, the exposing? Yes. Okay, great. So I want you to tell us, when we're looking at this, what have you found? So explain this page to us.
Well, these books are around the nation. They're in different libraries and different schools. I bought quite a few of them, actually, and just to read. And it's just unbelievable. The information is pornographic. It's distorted. It's really terrible. And you see a lot of them, they just look like animated books. I Am Jazz. It seems like an innocent, book, a kid's book, but it's not. And that one, Gender Queer, that's one that they're sending a lot of, in a lot of schools for AP classes.
Which one is it? This one?
Gender
Queer. Oh, this one. Oh, wow. That's in AP classes?
And there's just illustration that is just disgusting in there. But there's so many more books. I mean, I can tell you, in every school, I've had people contacting me and saying, we're fighting with the school boards to remove these books, and they won't do that. So there is strong resistance from within the libraries and the school boards in the schools to not remove these pornographic materials. We had the principal here in Horizon in Paradise Valley that got fired because we were making noise about a book called So You've Been Publicly Shamed. Again, it was an AP class, English, and it was all about bestiality. It was just a disgusting book, and that principal got fired, but we have to be loud about it. So the beauty about being the superintendent, people need to understand, now this is just the website of a candidate for superintendent. But we're going to have all these things on the Department of Education website. And we're going to tell them, hey, this school and this district approved those books. Right now, I don't have all that information. It's going to take my department to go and research what books are in every, or what curriculum is in every school, but we're going to have it on our website. So parents can know, oh my goodness, Mesa is using this curriculum or using these books. Maybe we should take our child somewhere else. So, because I cannot force the school boards to adopt a specific curriculum. I can't force them to adopt, specific reading materials, but I can definitely make noise about what they're using and have our recommended curriculum, our recommended books, and tell parents, you should have the school boards adopt the recommendations of the Department of Education. And I think that's going to make a big difference, because some of these books are just 100% pornographic. It's just
30 days of sex talks. Why is that even in the schools? They don't need to do that. And I remember the bestiality book, and you read it on Facebook, and I was just like, are you serious right now? That is like a grown-up conversation. That is an adult conversation. That is not a child conversation. It doesn't need to be included. We need to keep our kids innocent as long as possible. I was floored. I was absolutely floored, because this is not correct. I mean, we only send our kids to school so that they can learn about our history, how to form a scientific inquisition, like, so how does the scientific method works? How do you figure out things in life? You follow a special order called the scientific method. That's what we want our kids to know. We want our kids to know how to read. We want to know our kids to learn how to do addition. These are the things that we want our kids. We want our kids to be smart enough to know how to form a sentence. And the sad thing is, the kids are leaving the public school education, and I'm one of them, Sherry. I'm one of them. I was under Tom Horn's administration when he added he did the special test, and I can't think of the name of the test. Yeah. I can't think of the name of the test. And it was nonstop testing. It was just like, we had the district test. We had this test. We had that test. They were all stamped AIMS. We had this nonstop standardized test, okay? So when I left high school, and I was an AB student, mostly A's, some B's, I go to college, English 101, and I start failing. Mm-hmm. I was completely shocked. I was an AB student. How am I going from being an AB student, going to college, and getting C's and D's?
Because 35% of the kids, or 42% of the kids, are not college ready when they graduate from high school. If they already managed to graduate, they're still not college ready. And that's
correct.
Tragic. I mean,
I had to get tutoring. I had to teach myself how to do grammar, and I'm not blaming the teachers. Okay. I don't want this show to be like, oh, Amber hates teachers. That's not it. the teachers were forced to do these tests. The teachers hated doing that many tests. We all complained. The teachers complained. Students complained because it seemed like every few weeks we were getting a standardized test. So that meant the teachers couldn't actually do their job of teaching because around the corner was the next standardized test and they had to help us get prepared for that test. That's my experience in public school. And so it was very embarrassing to me not to be prepared for college. So when I had to tutor myself, and praise God, I got the grade up, you know, praise God, I could learn how to do grammar as an adult. But I look at my daughter now and the education she's getting in the private school, and there's not that many standardized tests. There's one right now in elementary school. I know I'll get a little bit more as she goes on, but she is really learning how to form a sentence. And to me, that makes me so proud because I don't want her to feel embarrassed the way I did when I thought I was a good student. I thought I knew my material and then come find out I didn't. That's embarrassing to me. And I didn't want that for her. And then you go and imagine being an adult in the business world and your sentences look terrible. Imagine that. I mean, people aren't going to take you seriously.
No. And if you listen now to high schoolers, I mean, I can't even listen to them half the time because all they say is like every other sentence. It's really tragic to hear the grammar and the way the kids are speaking right now. But the conversation now needs to shift from, you know, yeah, we may still have a pandemic, but we need to shift the conversation from what was the shutdown, the mask. Thank God we have laws right now that prevent that. They're never going to be able to mask our children again without a consent. All of these things are in place. Now, the question is, we've lost 2 years of learning. Is anyone even curious about how we're going to bridge that gap? I can tell you the Department of Education under Kathy Hoffman could not care less, because all they care about, just like her tweet today, it's about LGBTQ month, and that's all she's talking about. It's either teachers' pay or LGBTQ issues. That's it. You never hear her say, we just pumped all this money into this district, and now the scores are in the academics test is off the charts. We're so proud. You'll never see a tweet like that. There's never any attempt to even engage in excellence. Shift the tone, and we're going to say, you know, you've used a lot of fluff right now and inserted it into our schools. We're going to focus on academics. And academics, yes, as you said, it's not standardized testing. That means nothing. It means nothing, especially when it's multiple choice, when they go on the computer, and oftentimes they can just retake it. And even if they, I mean, I just talked to a teacher in Sierra Vista, in Tucson, actually, and she said that their grades, she needs to grade from 50%, so not from zero, from 50%. So the kid can just take, you know, a couple more assignments and they're 60% and they're passed. What kind of a system is this where we're just passing our kids? And I mean, can you imagine as a kid where it's like, oh, I didn't do anything, but I still got 50% no matter what? This social promotion, this culture needs to end. Our children are failing and they're not going to succeed. And it's tragic. They have so much potential, infinite potential to succeed and be great. And the system itself is destroying them. We're going to change that.
It affects their self-esteem when you can't read and you're supposed to be like a third grader, a sixth grader, a high schooler, and you can't read. It affects their self-esteem. And we all, as good parents, we want our kids to feel really good about themselves. We want them to feel empowered that they can do anything and be anything. And so when we're failing the kids in these aspects because we're making it too easy or too lenient or not making that like what you just said, where it's 50% and you're or 60% you pass, like we're doing a disservice for the kids. We don't want their self-esteem to be affected. We want them to feel like they can do and be anything they want to be. And if they can't read and they can't form a sentence, then we have failed them as grown-ups, because they're depending on us to teach them, and they're going to go into adulthood still feeling like they're not smart, or they're not this, or they're not that, and they can't compete in the world market. And that's pretty sad, because the world market's not going to care about their that they didn't have a great education. They're going to expect them to be performing at a certain level. And if our future generation can't, then what does that say about our nation? So everything is built on the fundamentals of education, everything. And so what you're doing, Sherry, is super important. I'm so proud to know you. I think that Our public school system is going to be so much better with a mom that loves her kids and wants the best for her kids, because that's going to spill over to my kids and everyone else's kids, and that you have a good heart. And we're not going to indoctrinate our kids. Let them be innocent as long as they can. Sex can wait till they're adults. It doesn't need to happen when they're 6, 5, 4, 12. That can all wait. It's always going to be there. The most important thing is that we teach them to be kind to one another. Everyone is valuable, and that we want to actually give them the fundamentals so that they can grow and succeed as adults. Final words coming from my friend Sherry Sapir.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. I hope your audience goes and checks my website out, sapiraz.com, SAPIRAZ.com. I do want people to understand that as overwhelming as it seems sometimes that they're just coming at us from every angle, the solutions are at the palm of our hands. We just have people who want this travesty to happen. So we have to have good leadership who is going to concentrate on the children, on their potential, on their well-being, and remove all the nonsense. We're going to leave social justice for the news, for other places and spaces outside of the schools. But I can tell you, we can do some really amazing things. I'm very encouraged as I've been running for over a year now. I've learned so much about the job itself. So now I'm even more motivated than before, because I really know we can make a difference. We just need to get into that office. So August 2nd, make sure you vote me in the primary. And I'll do everything I can to save your children.
I know a lot of people are very excited about you. And I'm sure when you go out and talk to people, I bet people are coming up to you. And before I let you go, what are they saying to you when they come up to you?
We can't wait for you to get in that office.
That's me too. That's me too.
I hear it all the time.
I think our state is up for so much good, because I firmly believe Carrie Lake is going to be our governor. And I think she's the best candidate we have. It's just my opinion. You guys can have your own opinion. Don't hate the Amber May Show because we disagree. That's America for you. You can agree to disagree. I like the fact that Mark Fincham will be Secretary of State to protect our elections. I think that's so important. And then we have you as Superintendent of Public Instruction to protect our education system and watch out for our children, to be a watchdog for our children. I think so much good is going to come in this next year, and I've never been more excited about voting in an election than I am in the midterms. It's kind of funny. You'd think like, oh, it's not the presidential, I should be more excited about that. No, I'm actually more excited about the midterms, because I have my friend Josh Barnett, who you know, he's yes. running for Congress. I think he would be so good for Arizona, to represent Arizona, along with Paul Gosar and Andy Biggs. I think those three would be a trifecta. I really do. So we have him running. We have a lot of regular people for the first time in my life watching normal, regular people. You were by no means a millionaire, billionaire, at least I don't think so. I mean, if you are, great. I mean, awesome. But traditionally we think of like, you can only run if you're a millionaire, a billionaire, or you know, if you have some kind of wealth, that's the only way you can run. But the people I'm coming across, they're just regular people.
Salt of the earth, yeah.
Doing the best they can. Trying to work hard and this grassroots movement, like you're part of us grassroots people. I've been so encouraged. So thank you for trying. Thank you for taking up a mantle. Yes. It's not easy to campaign. You're going to get the arrows. I'm sure you've already experienced that. And I know more will come. The job's going to be hard, but without good people like you stepping up and hearing the call of God, because I really think people like you stood up because God called you. I really think so. I think that's why I'm seeing so many people that I know stepping up, because God's like saying, hey, I want you. I want you. I want you. And now they're running. And so it just gives me kind of chills to think about like where God's placed me and the people he's put me around. And being your friend is definitely an honor for me. So I'm excited for you to win your election.
Thank you. Yeah, it's going to be an exciting day. Oh, my goodness. So August 2nd, everyone. Make sure you go out and vote for all of us. I'm going to make you proud.
Well, thank you so much, guys. Stay tuned. I have something else I want to share with you coming up right now. Hey, guys, I want to give you a pro tip to help keep your family healthy when everyone around you is coughing, sniffling, or sneezing, okay? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go first to drstellamd.com. When you're there, go ahead and grab some COVID bites. Also, get your ivermectin, set up your telemed appointment, and get your ivermectin. I'm going to give you a promo code to help you save some money, and use promo code AmberMay, one word, and that'll help you save money. Now, here's your pro tip for you. You can use this on your entire family. The adult dose is 2. I've talked to a medical expert. They said cut it in half when you're dealing with children. So 1 tablet. What I do with my kids, because it's just too big of a pill for them, I get a blender. I put a pill in there. I fill it with water and like some flavoring, and then boom, I have them drink it before school. Pro tip, and what it has, and it's amazing. It has quercetin, vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, all the therapeutics to help keep your body healthy and working at optimum health. Support your body's immune system when you use the Kobe Bites. They're amazing. So go to drstellamd.com, grab your Kobe Bites, get your ivermectin, use promo code AmberMay, and save some money. In today's world, you never know what's going to happen. I want to make sure you are prepared. So I want you to stock up on food right now. And the way you can do that, the easiest way to do that, is go to theammermayshow.com. Look at the resources. You can have a full supply, full of food in your pantry, ready to go in case of a job loss or convoys, supply chain issues, business being shut down, war, whatever it is, you're prepared. So go to theammermayshow.com, click the resource tab, and get your food supply today. Do not wait, get it today. I want to tell you about a company that I just fell in love with. So I found Hero Soap Company. What I love about them is we're using it all the time at our house. My husband loves it. We're switching all of our soaps over to Hero Soap Company. But what I love about it is they're local. They're an American-made company, and they're owned by a veteran. And I thought that was so cool. I love to support patriots. So if you want to be like me and get all that harsh chemicals out of your home and use a soap that's actually really healthy for you with great natural ingredients, but also is an American-made product that's owned by a veteran or co-owned by a veteran, then you need to check out Heroes Soap Company /AmberMay. And then what's really cool about what they do is they give back to the community and they support veterans and first responders. So everyone's winning in this situation. If you use promo code AmberMay, you're saving money. You're supporting a company that's American-made, patriot-owned, that supports other patriots. It's just a win-win for everybody. So Hero Soap Company /AmberMay, and use promo code AmberMay to save some money.